Remember and wonder why she had thought nothing of them. But it would be an unfair thing to wonder. She was a different woman then, keeping her head down, doing temp work, not looking for trouble, and somehow believing that this meant that trouble would never look for her. The first intimation she had that something was wrong was when a faint prickling sensation traveled up through her shoulders and into her neck. Her flesh crept. It was an ugly feeling in itself, but her stomach turned, because she had suffered such feelings before. Not for a long time, though. A good long time. A time that was good specifically because it was long. Her unhappiness must have showed in her face as the woman behind the counter said, "Are you all right, love?"
"Yes."
Nadia managed a wan and unconvincing smile.
"Just, you know, a funny feeling."
"Somebody walking on your grave." The woman saw Nadia's reaction and smiled.
"Oh, just an expression. It means getting a funny feeling that makes you think summat's up.
Don't worry. I get them all the time. Means nout." Nadia at least managed to make her smile a little more convincing, but she recognized a flavor to the feeling that was all too familiar. A frisson, she knew, was in no way irrational. Her funny feelings never meant nout. Then the robbery began. The two men had positioned themselves according to a pathetically simple plan, one by the post office counter, the other at the end of the aisle ending at the till. The first act of the crime was, after a moment to make sure his hoodie was pulled forward to shadow his face, for the one on the aisle to notice the shelf stacker, all unaware with his earbuds inserted. From under his hoodie top, where he had ill-advisedly been hiding it, the urban desperado produced a sawn-off and aged 20-bore shotgun. He had never used it before, and had no idea that the hammers had to be drawn back prior to firing. Not that he needed to know that, as he used the short, crudely cut stub of butt as a bludgeon to club the teenager once, hard, across the back of the skull. The boy sprawled across the worn linoleum, stunned. Nadia saw the expression change in the saleswoman's eyes, saw her looking past Nadia's shoulder, and knew the sense of trouble had once again proved accurate. She turned and saw a nervous man, a little younger than herself, with a shotgun.
"Don't move," he said. "Do not move."
The woman gasped, and Nadia stepped back until she could feel the edge of the counter against the small of her back. She raised her hands shoulder high.
"Be cool, man," she said quietly. "Get the till!"
It was the other man shouting from the post office desk. He turned to face the postmistress.
"You, don't touch any buttons. Give me all the money you have there."
He tried to force the barrel of his shotgun, a double-barreled 12-bore better maintained than his partner's, under the bullet-resistant barrier, but the dip in the countertop designed to prevent exactly that frustrated him. He looked around, saw the pensioner, and pushed her to the floor without hesitation. She fell awkwardly through a greetings card display. He leveled his gun at her.
"All the money, or I shoot her!"
he shouted at the postmistress.
"If I shoot, it's your fault!"
"No," thought Nadia. "If you fire, it's your fault. No one else's. It's your fault." She wanted to say it, but her throat felt clenched. She couldn't speak. It wasn't because she was scared, though. No. She knew exactly what was coming, and that scared her badly. The postmistress was pushing notes under the screen, telling 12-bore not to hurt the woman on the floor. The shelf stacker was lying on his back, not moaning anymore. He might swallow his tongue lying like that. His skull might be fractured. He could be dying right now. The whole place was foggy with fear. Everyone but 12-bore. He stank of entitlement.